Good morning. You're listening to The Coffee Table on KBBI Homer AM 890. I'm your host, Renee Gross. Finding affordable housing in the Homer area can be difficult. Today on The Coffee Table, we will discuss how the housing and rental market has been changing, the impact vacation rentals are having on our town, and what changes we can expect to see in the future. Our guests are Mark Romick, Deputy Director of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
Gina Pelea with Bay Realty. Thanks for coming in, Gina.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And James Baisden, the Kenai Peninsula Borough Chief of Staff. Welcome, James.
Good morning.
You can join in the conversation. Give us a call if you have a question or a comment about housing and vacation rentals. We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 907-235-7721 or email us at info@kbbi.org. Gina, let's start with you kind of getting a little bit of an overview here. How have you seen the housing market for those seeking to own changed over the past few years?
Well, I definitely think we have a strong and healthy market here in Homer, Alaska. Definitely, you know, we have seen some small increases on a yearly basis with properties, but if they're priced right, you know, I think things are selling. And we have a lot of great, financing programs for people. There's income-driven loans where people can buy a home with zero down.
And you mentioned that the prices have gone up in some cases. Why is that?
You know, I think that we have a strong, stable market. The inventory is down a little bit. So, you know, it's definitely a seller's market right now, I would say. And, you know, I would just reiterate that it's a very strong, stable market.
And what about the rental market? What are we seeing there? Has that been changing?
It has been changing a little bit. You know, I mainly focus on long-term rentals, which really has stayed about the same. We have, I'd say, less than 3% vacancy rate. March, April, and May are still the best times to rent. Slows down a little bit over the summer and then picks up again in the fall.
And Mark, can you talk about the rental unit vacancy rates in Homer that you found?
Sure. Every year, Alaska Housing has the Department of Labor do a rental market survey of private landlords throughout the state, and the response rate, you know, varies a little bit by area, and we don't have a huge sample from the Kenai Peninsula and for Homer specific, but what we have seen is that the as your previous speaker suggested, a very tight but healthy rental market. Over time, I think the rental market has gotten a little bit looser based on some of the statistics that we have, but has remained relatively consistent. And in fact, I think Homer has the lowest vacancy rate of the four major communities that we survey on the Kenai Peninsula. So we also see rents slightly ticking up a little bit, We look at two different measures for rent, for the median rent. One is the contract rent, which is basically just advertised. And then we also make an adjustment for utilities, because a lot of the programs that we administer here at Alaska Housing on the rental side consider the utilities as part of the affordability. And so when you look at either both of those measures, Homer is at the top in terms of the median rent. So very stable, healthy rental market.
And Mark, what do you see as sort of the biggest challenges people have in terms of finding housing?
I think Homer is probably similar to a lot of places in Alaska, and that is that the biggest challenges for everyone is, you know, affordability. That's a function of your income, and if you have a higher income, then everything is affordable. If you have a lower income, then, you know, your choices are substantially limited. There's a little bit of a different situation, I think, in Homer and other coastal communities that are very popular, tourist destinations in the summertime and other areas or other times, and that puts additional pressure on the market and makes it a little bit harder for people to find an affordable place to live consistently. You know, Juneau comes to mind. You know, during the session down there, it's difficult for people to find apartments, and so that makes the rents stay more or higher. So aside from affordability, partly related to that too is just available stock. You know, if there's not a lot of stock available for people, then it makes it more difficult because it puts pressure on the rent, which also has an impact on, you know, people's ability to afford that. So those are the two kind of major elements that make it difficult for people to find apartments. And more so, and I'm not familiar in a situation at home, or maybe one of your other panelists might have some insight into this, but one of the things that has happening in some of the other more larger communities is that people's personal behavior and perhaps some of the issues that they've gotten involved with in the past have created a barrier for them to find housing, because if your landlord does credit checks or criminal background checks, that could also limit people's ability to access the rental market.
And we definitely want to talk more about vacation rentals and the impact they're having. Also, what about aging housing structures? Can that be a barrier to or challenge in terms of, you know, finding good housing?
Did you say aging infrastructure?
Mm-hmm, yeah, just aging housing.
Sure. Well, interestingly enough, we've kind of do an analysis of our portfolio in various places, and although in general for Alaska's housing portfolio, I'm speaking specifically in the kind of broader area of the 99603 zip code, for our portfolio in Homer, only about 45% of the stock that we've financed, or the properties that we have financed, were built before the year 2000. So statewide, it's over 70%. So Homer has, at least from our perspective, a much younger housing stock. That doesn't mean that you don't have older stock. It just means that it's not as big a percentage of our portfolio. And so, yes, aging infrastructure could be, aging stock could be an issue. However, I think the more, particularly on the single family side, if it's older, then theoretically, unless there's a huge demand in your community, it might sell for a little bit less if there's a lot of repairs that need to be made. And as Jeannie mentioned, we also have a number of financial loan programs that help people renovate loans or renovate properties, as part of the purchase price, or if they want to go out and renovate their property, they can take a second. So,
yeah, Gina, is aging housing an issue that you've come across?
Well, we definitely do have some older, rental units. But then on the other hand, we've had a lot of people buy duplexes, build duplexes, and I have a lot of newer properties that I'm renting now.
And, when I talk to some people in the lower 48, they always assume that housing is really cheap here because there's more land. Mark, can you talk about, why don't we see that as necessarily the case all the time?
Well, I think that is probably one of the great myths of Alaska, is that you look out and you see a lot of trees and a lot of land, and you just automatically assume that it's cheap, but that's not the case, because there's a difference between what you see and what's available for development. There's not a lot of infrastructure in some places in Alaska, and so the amount of developable land for that would make a project efficient financially is not as big as what people might perceive. Sure, if you want to go out into the middle of the Busch Range and buy a homestead lot, it might be only a couple $1,000 an acre, but I would assume that a vacant lot in Homer is substantially more expensive than that.
Gina, do you have anything to add to that? Yeah,
I would agree with that also. And, the cost of building is higher here, but also it's all relative, I would say, because where else can you go in the lower 48 and buy ocean property that's less than $1 million? Well, you still can here.
Right. That's a good point as well. And, going off of this topic of sort of building property, Mark, what do you see as sort of the barriers to building multifamily housing, whether it's market rate or low income? What are the biggest challenges with that?
Well, Jeannie kind of alluded to that a little bit earlier, but the major cost drivers of rental development are land, infrastructure, and then, you know, just the cost of building labor and materials. And so all of those three things, are different around the state. So it just depends on how much rent you can charge in relationship to those costs. And in a lot of places in Alaska, the cost of construction is so high that at the average rent, or like I mentioned before, the median rent in Homer basically for based on our survey is about $900. So, you know, if you're trying to make an apartment complex work, and all the maximum that you could charge is $900 based on what's available in the marketplace, and that might be on the low side in terms of reality, then there is a minimum price that, there's only so much you can generate from a loan on that rent. So if the amount that you can generate from the loan is not sufficient to build a property, then it's not financially feasible. And so it's a sole function of the cost of construction. Different organizations have a varying experience in construction, and some are substantially more efficient than others. Some have land that they've invested in and already own that. If you're a new developer, you have to go out and buy land. You have to put infrastructure into that piece of property because you might not be near water and sewer, or you have to put in a really sophisticated leach field and drill a well. You know, all of those things add up and could create a huge barrier to somebody building apartments. It sounds like, from what Jeannie said, that there is new construction and multifamily happening down there, so people are making it work.
I would agree.
And do you guys see these, these projects pencil out?
Sometimes they do. And, I also see a lot of owners that maybe they're going to retire in a few years, and we are the number one retirement community in the state that'll purchase a home, forecasting for the retirement, and I rent it for them until they're ready to retire. That happens quite often.
And Mark, what about with the low-income housing? Do those projects often pencil out?
Well, they're substantially easier to pencil out because they're generally receiving government support, either, through rental assistance to the tenants or through development subsidies from the federal government or the state government. And so, as an example, we have about 189 units of housing that we have helped develop since 1994 in the Homer area. All of those units have been developed using different forms of state or federal subsidies. And most of them are very small. We've done a few larger rehabs, and we actually have a 24-plex that's under development now down on East End Road. And they're substantially easier because people receive that assistance from the federal government in exchange for targeting very low-income people. And there's a different definition based on, which federal program you're looking at as to what low-income means. But for us at Alaska Housing, we generally follow the HUD income limit guidelines. And, for the Kenai Peninsula borough, a family of four that earns less than $32,000 a year is considered extremely low income. So that's, and then the next measure up is very low income, which is also a target group for us, and that's about $43,000. So, it's not people at the very, very end of the scale based on family size, but those projects are much easier to pencil because of the government assistance.
And we've seen an increase in terms of affordable low-income housing on the Kenai Peninsula in the past few years, correct?
I can't speak for for anybody other than what Alaska Housing has done. And, there's the development of housing under our programs is almost solely related to who is interested in doing it. And you have some strong organizations down in the Homer area, Homer Senior Citizens, Kenai Peninsula Housing Initiatives, and a couple of private developers that have been doing a lot of affordable housing in Homer and all throughout the Kenai Peninsula. So we've done, I think, in the Kenai Peninsula borough over the same time period since 1994, we've facilitated about 600 units of new housing.
Let's change topics a little bit and talk a bit about the impact we're seeing in terms of vacation rentals. In 2018, Homer hosts welcomed about 15,000 guests on Airbnb and earned $1.9 million. And the number of specifically Airbnbs have been growing exponentially. Gina, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but how have you seen the vacation rentals change rental markets? Are there fewer housing units going up for rent?
For long-term basis, possibly. But I also think that the vacation rental market has been great. I mean, it's offered competition. You know, there's a certain group of people that, you know, are going to want to stay at hotels and aren't going to want to stay at vacation rentals. And then quite the opposite, some that just want the vacation rentals because they can bring a host of their family to them. So I think it's been really good. I have a lot of friends doing it. They're making money. They're putting it back into the community. And I think it's been really good for the community. I have seen it, though, be a little bit harmful for the person that's looking for the long-term place, because maybe there's not as many options as there were in the past because more people are doing the summer rental business.
And I've heard, and I know that Homer News has reported on the issue of labor shortages as a symptom of the tight rental market we have here. In Homer, are vacation rentals affecting the rental or the labor shortage in any way? I mean, Gina, have people talked to you about difficulty finding workers who can't find a place to live?
I rent to several different businesses and help them with their workers on every year, and I haven't had a problem with that. And I also know a lot of employers that are creating bunk housing and things like that on their properties to facilitate, you know, housing for their employees, which I think is wise, you know.
Oh, interesting. They're expanding their properties. And do people looking to buy houses ever talk to you about wanting a place that they can also rent out as a vacation rental? Does that become more of a priority?
That's definitely become a, you know, a huge attraction for a large group of people, for sure.
Let's take a listen to an interview I did with Eric Schreier. He owns a business called Be Well B&B that manages vacation rental listings. He argues that vacation rentals are helping to bring in tourism, but he does say that there should be more to be done to make sure that they are paying taxes. Let's take a listen here.
Vacation rentals, especially in the Southern Kenai Peninsula, have really taken off. There's been a big need for it. And obviously, if there was no need, if we had no tourism coming in, there wouldn't be that need for it. And right now, with Airbnb specifically, there's over 350 active Airbnb listings just in the city of Homer and the surrounding area.
How much can people make with vacation rentals?
It all depends on the place. The more amenities and more of a wow factor you have, the better it's going to be. I'm seeing a lot of clientele really gravitating towards the cute little cottage aspect of things for around 100 or less a night. And then on the other side of the coin is the bigger homes, like 3, 4, or 5 bedroom plus with spas, you know, hot tub, steam room, things like that. The view, access to town. I'm not seeing a whole lot in the middle. But when you look at the average, let's say a small cottage bringing in 75 to 100 a night, you can kind of do the math on that one. Now, some of the bigger homes, renting an entire house out, you're looking at $250 to $400 a night. And it actually translates to a pretty good deal for the guest and definitely a good deal for the property owner. I think that it has a positive impact. Giving a wide variety of lodging options to tourists coming in, even the what they call the staycationers, the folks who live in Alaska. You get a lot of folks from Anchorage, even Kenai area, want to come down to Homer for a day or two or a weekend, and it allows them to have some privacy if they're a family. Sometimes folks like that versus a hotel situation. I think that, at least in my case, it has spawned a business, and I hire cleaning services. So I know the cleaning service that I work with, they've had to hire additional people. So that's definitely revenue and job creation happening just from the short-term rental market.
Do you help people fill out or advise people about filling out tax forms related to their vacation rentals?
I don't do any advisement on that, but I do suggest it. That's a big item that came up with regard to the community here recently. There's a lot of folks who have a B&B that they've been running for years, and they have a business license, and they're paying for advertising, and some of the items of contention were a lot of the folks who are just maybe renting out a room or renting out a spare cabin weren't going and getting a business license and doing taxes. So I do advise people to do that. If you're going to do a short-term rental, by law, you're supposed to get a business license and file your borough and or city taxes if that's applicable to you.
Do you think there should be more, you know, policing of vacation rentals to make sure that they're paying taxes?
I think that's fair. I think it's very fair that if you're going to be running a business and you're going to be getting extra income off of it on a business side of things, you know, you're going out to Airbnb, posting a listing, you're gaining revenue, it's become a commercial enterprise at that point. And I think that that's, you know, I'm very for that.
And we kind of talked about, you know, positives of Airbnb and vacation rentals. You know, some people, you know, have concerns that it's affecting, for instance, the rental market, you know, that it's making it harder for people to find affordable housing year-round. Do you have thoughts on that?
Oh, I think that's absolutely true. You know, you have to look at everything from both sides. And, you know, in almost every city or location, tourist destination, you're seeing similar things. And the folks who want to stay and live there year-round, yeah, the rental market is becoming limited, or they're only able to rent in the off-season. Prices are going through the roof. If I had an easy answer on how to fix that, I would. I think that having renters who are going to stay year-round are going to have to make some adjustments, and I think that the folks who are renting properties are also going to have to make some adjustments. And if you're having, you know, let's say just a regular vanilla plain two- or three-bedroom home, and you're having some vacancy throughout the summer season, it might be something to consider to just opening it up to a long-term rental person instead of keeping that in hopes of getting those high dollars when you're just not, you know, when it's just not one of those places that's popping.
What about other regulation? I mean, do you feel, for instance, there are some, you know, other cities that limit the number of Airbnbs or vacation rentals in an area? Do you think that's something that's needed in Homer?
I don't think so at this time. It's already starting to level itself out a bit. You know, you're seeing more vacancies pop up in the properties that just aren't doing it for the people who are renting coming down here. You know, so you're seeing vacancies through the holidays on properties that are just not there, and I don't think those people are going to be doing it for very long. I think having a free market on it is the way to go with it. And limiting folks, you know, if all of a sudden we're seeing 10, 20 properties by one individual for Airbnb, you know, maybe it might be something to take a look at that point. But this is such a smaller community and venue, I don't think it's that big of a deal at the moment.
Okay, that was our interview with Eric Schreier. And
if you'd like to make a call,
let's take a couple minute break, and then we'll get back and talk a little bit more about regulations from the borough when it comes to vacation rentals, and we'll rope in James into our conversation. So stay with us, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back. Coffee Table here on KBBI Homer, AM 890. Today we're talking about housing. And James, I want to rope you into the conversation here. How does the borough right now regulate vacation rentals?
Well, so over there, a lot of feedback. Can still get.
Are you maybe on speaker, if you take it off speaker?
Can't take it off speaker, but can you still hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Hello?
All right, go ahead.
We're just having bad communication there. Sorry, but something's not working.
James, can you hear us?
I can't, but I'm getting really bad feedback. I can't communicate. Like, all right.
Do you want me to try?
All right. Well, let's go. We'll go to some other guests for now, and then we'll come back to you, James. Okay?
All right.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, so let's talk about, who's hit hardest with challenges in terms of affordable housing. Mark, do you want to take that one? When we're seeing, lack of affordable housing, who does that hurt the most?
Well, uniformly across the state, and I think you can probably say nationally, whenever there's a shortage of affordable housing, then the people at the bottom end of the economic scale are the hardest hit. Generally you can characterize that, as I mentioned before, based on the income, kind of average income or median income. And we see the people, as I alluded to before, there's two real measures of income that are important to us in the affordable housing world, and that's the people at 30% of the median and people at 50% of the median. And I mentioned the limits in the Kenai Peninsula borough before, and so it tends to be, your kind of entry-level positions, people just starting out, younger people. And in particular, people with disabilities, because they tend to need, accessibility modifications to homes and things like that, which are not often available in housing stock. It's getting better. More people are embracing the whole concept of universal design in housing, but those generally tend to be the people that are hardest hit when there's stock issues, in a community and substantially high demand for what's available.
And Gina, who do you see as having the hardest time finding housing?
I would agree with what he just said with the young people, the people just getting into housing, the 19-year-old people, young adults.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult. A lot of landlords, are worried about taking a chance on them. Things like they don't have a lot of rental history, those kind of things, job stability. But I do think things have improved. And with Alaska Housing subsidizing rents and the different programs that are out there, there's still ways for people to get into entry-level housing, whether it's for sale or for rent.
And Renee, if I could add on the single family side, probably the biggest barrier to people getting into single family homes a lot of times is down payment requirements. And as Jeannie mentioned before, there are loan programs that address those types of issues. And there's the 97% loans, and there's also lower interest rates for different income groups and first-time home buyers, veterans, etc. So.
And it seems that James is back on the line. James, can you hear us?
Yes, we're there.
And James, let's get back to this question of how the borough looks at vacation rentals. How is the borough regulating vacation rentals right now?
Yeah, so a lot of conversation that we've had in the last month with the borough and with our assembly. And you know, what we're looking at trying to do right now with the cities is come up with a plan to go out and purchase some software in our new budget year that will help us with the vacation rentals, specifically, you know, with the big VBROs and Airbnb. We want to set up a fair playing field so that we know that all these groups that are out there that are in the rental market are, paying the same taxes as the hotels and motels. And we get a lot of conversation from that. And I apologize because I'm still getting feedback here, so it's kind of difficult for me to talk and listen at the same time. And I've got my finance director, Brandy Harbaugh, here, and she can help us with any of the specifics dealing with the numbers that she's seeing when it comes to this topic.
Okay, well, we know that there are some vacation rentals that fly under the radar when it comes to taxes. Do we know how big of a problem it is?
At this point, we're not sure of folks indicating it's an issue. We do hear from the cities as well as locals that there are entities or landlords that are flying under the radar. We do currently have a substantial amount of businesses registered with the Kenai Peninsula Borough. However, as we know, registrations don't always necessarily mesh with number of units. And so there are multiple locations as well as multiple units under several of our registrations. So we have, like James said, we're looking at purchasing a tool that will help identify throughout all the online platforms the VRBOs and all those types of situations. We think with that tool it will increase compliance throughout the borough, but realizing that we currently canvass, we look online, we look through periodicals, communicate with folks, and at some point there is a need to depend on folks' honesty and willingness to comply with the borough's code. So we are out there, again, canvassing and looking, and we think that this tool will help.
And why is it hard to see the scope of the problem? Why is it difficult at the borough level?
So with the staff that we have, we are limited in the amount of staff that we can utilize for this purpose. We do have our sales tax staff as well as our audit staff, again, physically canvassing the borough as well as looking at all the different avenues of online, newspapers, and all the such. And again, we lean on folks' willingness and the compliance that they provide for the borough as well. So we do think that this tool will help with that process. But again, based on the number of businesses that we currently have registered within the borough, the numbers are not a lot different between the counts that are identified online and the amount of registrations we currently have.
And Seward already has a similar software. How is it working out for them?
I do believe that they've seen an uptick in the amount of registrations. We have already been working with the City of Seward as they have a city license requirement. And so I believe that they've identified between 60 and 100 businesses.
More than they already had registered in addition?
Yes, my understanding is that they've identified between 60 and 100 businesses on top of what they currently have. However, keeping in mind that the borough registration is a little bit different than the City of Seward's bed tax, and that the borough starts the sales tax at $2,500, which is casual and isolated sales, whereas the Seward bed tax starts at $1. So we would anticipate that there would be a higher number of registrations for the actual bed tax.
And when is the borough planning on purchasing this software?
So we're currently, we just had the money appropriated last week, and so we're looking at the framework of an RFP currently. The goal is to send that RFP out to, we believe at this time there are two businesses identified in the nation that would provide this service, and hopefully more. So we will hope to put that out within the next month or so, and then the goal is to circle back around with the cities and work with them to see if we can collaborate together, as this was a great interest for them as well.
And do you see this, I mean, will this sort of be a cure-all when it comes to vacation rentals paying taxes?
I'm not sure that I can answer that. I do think that this will help even the playing field for those folks that are advertising online versus the local folks. But at this point, it's difficult to tell.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is maybe a question for James, but does the borough have a role in terms of other regulations, such as, you know, monitoring the safety of vacation rentals, for instance, making sure that they adhere to, you know, fire department regulations or anything like that?
Safety is always going to be a concern, and depending on where the location is of the rentals, the deferred jurisdictions, whether you're in the city of Homer or Seward or Kenai or Sardotna, you're going to be dealing with those local jurisdictions. And if you're dealing with outside those areas, it's going to typically be the state fire marshal's office. But, you know, if you're changing your home into a place that maybe goes from having, you know, three bedrooms that typically sleep in a normal family to where you're trying to bunk a large group of people, the code could change and those requirements could change. So it's something that anybody who is looking at doing that, they want to probably give their local fire authority a call and talk with them about it.
Mm-hmm. And Gina, we kind of touched on this a little bit, but do you see the borough or the city having, you know, a greater role when it comes to regulating vacation rentals? Is that something you think that the city of Homer needs at this point, or is that something that is not necessary?
I don't think it's really necessary right at this point. You know, I would agree with the sales tax issues. You know, I think that people should do the right thing, you know, get their business license and pay their sales tax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Gina, do you have advice for people looking for housing right now in terms of, well, let's start actually with just the rental market, you know, looking to rent, you know, for people who might feel overwhelmed or not sure the best way to go about it. Do you have advice for them?
Give me a call. I'll walk you through it. I'll hold your hand and I will help you find a rental. It can be done. I do it all the time, and there's lots of people out there that are living very happily in their rental homes here in Homer, Alaska.
And Mark, what about for you? What are sort of the options that people have? And you've kind of touched on this a little bit, but you know, if people feel like they can't afford housing or a place to rent, what does your organization offer to them?
So there's a couple of things. Definitely call a realtor or a property manager if, as a first step, that's a great place to start to find out what alternatives are available. The other thing is, you know, Alaska Housing has an office of our public housing division in Homer that operates the Housing Choice Voucher Program for some of the low-income families that I mentioned earlier based on their income limits. And Inga Clark is an awesome employee, and she'll help whoever needs help and qualifies for our program. So you give Inga a call to find out if you're eligible for the Section 8 program or the Housing Choice Voucher program in Anchorage, in Homer. But then there's also a number of other properties that are that I mentioned before that are affordable for people, based on development assistance that they got. And I would recommend that they call, you know, Kenai Peninsula Housing Initiatives. They have a number of properties in Homer in the area. And there's two other properties that we've involved in, Harbor Ridge Apartments the Conifer Woods. So both of those are properties that are offer affordable housing based on assistance from the federal government. So I would contact them. And if you're an elderly person that you're over the age of 60, I believe, or 55, you call the Homer Senior Citizens. They also have some great housing opportunities. I imagine that they're probably pretty popular, so they may not have a very they may have a very short waiting list in terms of the vacant units. But I would call those organizations, and for those folks out there, since there are a lot of younger people that use the internet a lot, Facebook Marketplace is a great place to look for rentals, and there's a couple of other sub pages on Facebook that people look pretty regularly for apartments. Craigslist is another good source.
And we just have a few minutes left, but I do want to give one more opportunity for people to call in. If you have a question or a comment about housing or vacation rentals, we do want to hear from you. You can give us a call at 907-235-7721. And Mark, if people are looking to build affordable housing, what does your organization look for in terms of funding those types of projects?
What we look for in the bar, in the sponsor, or in the project, or
in
is that
the
what
project.
You mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, well, first of all, you know, we look for feasibility. You know, it has to make sense from a feasibility point. We look for the qualification and experience of the developer. A lot of the programs that we are involved in on the affordable housing side are somewhat complicated because they have a lot of regulation, and there's a pretty substantial burden, administrative burden, on part of the owner related to compliance. We audit them on a regular basis. And so those are probably the two major things. We have an annual application process, and we have lots of application material that people can access on our website and get a sense of the kind of requirements that we have for those programs. And on the private side, you know, that doesn't involve subsidies and just involves getting loan financing, it's just like a straight-ahead, you know, underwriting process, you know. How much rent can you charge? How much is it going to cost? How much can you borrow? And, you know, is the project financially feasible? So those are the major things that we look for in a project and a sponsor.
And, Mark, what do you hope to see in terms of moving forward, you know, for housing in Homer and across the state to sort of make the housing market better or easier for people to afford housing?
Well, I think that, you know, the housing and the availability of housing is, to a large extent, an economic issue. You know, it's either feasible or it's not feasible to build for people in the private sector. And, you know, our programs that target the affordable housing is a small fraction of the overall apartment market. And so what I would like to see, you know, for the future is it's easier for private developers to build housing. And there's a number of economic factors that we talked about that are that work against them because they aren't able to access some of the federal programs or the state programs that assist more affordable housing developers. And along those lines, I think another thing that communities can do is kind of do what you know, you're doing with the vacation rental by owners, is talk about the issues that you have for housing in your community, decide whether the community wants to, you know, help support development, and do what you can to kind of make it easier for the private sector to address housing issues.
And what are the ways to make it easier for the private sector to address housing issues?
Well, I think that, you know, some of the things that we see around the state, and in fact, I know that the city of Homer has done some of these in the past, is work with sponsors on making land available, helping with the infrastructure, you know, doing other things like that can help make it a little bit easier for communities, community developers to build. I know down in Juneau, you know, the city has taken a pretty, they have different resources granted, but they've taken a little bit of a more aggressive approach to helping the private sector by creating ordinances that encourage smaller developments. They've done subdivision development to make available for private developers. They've done a lot of other things, and Anchorage has done some of that stuff, not as much. Juneau was probably the most progressive, I think, in the state in terms of getting the city, based on, you know, support from the community itself, involved in helping facilitate housing development.
like to see moving forward with the housing market here?
You know, I just think that, just more opportunities, more inventory would be nice, more selection, more choices. I think we are blessed in the state to have Alaska Housing and the different financing opportunities that we have. And I just like to see more people take advantage of these great programs that we have, that we can get people into homes with, nothing out of pocket.
And do you see right now that people finding certain seasons a lot easier to rent or find housing than others?
You know, I think in Homer, we've always seen the spring in terms of long-term rentals. March, April, and May are always the best time to get a year lease for the owners that I represent. And that's the best time to put your property up for a year type rental. Then you deal with the summer people, that are doing the summer rentals. So then it'll pick up again at the end of the summer, where a lot of the people that maybe did the vacation rentals over the summer, they do winter rentals. And that's still an option for some people too. It gives them affordable housing over the winter, helps them maybe buy a house, give them some flexibility to have time to find something that they really want and time to look. So, I think it kind of works hand in hand, and it's going well.
And James, let's end with you. What do you hope to see moving forward from the borough side? And specifically, what impact do you feel like the software might have?
Well, I think we want to have a robust economy when it comes to the rental market. We want everybody to play fair. We hope to get some compliance software in place, and it's going to take us a little bit of time, but and again, our resources are limited, but we just want to, when it comes to revenue, everybody's interested in whether you're a hotel, motel, or you're a homeowner who's renting out your home, that everybody's doing it the same, and that's our goal. We just want to be fair to everybody.
All right, great. Well, that about does it for us at the coffee table. I want to thank all of our guests. Here today, Mark Romick, Deputy Director of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Thanks for coming on.
You're very welcome.
Gina Pelea with Bay Realty. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
James Baisden with the Kenai Peninsula Borough Chief of Staff, and also Brandy Harbaugh, the Finance Director. Thank you so much to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And thanks to our listening audience. You are listening to KBBI Homer, AM 890.